The reading for today is from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 23. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to walk. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at a table close to him, and he said, "Lord, who is that? Who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the word of the Lord.
Somehow I feel I'm just going to repeat something that you have heard already through what Tim said to the children. But anyway, I hope you will not get tired when I'm speaking. And I'm sure the Lord has something for us in store to listen to this part of John's Gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you that John has written these things for us to learn and understand who you are, what do you have in mind with each one of us. So speak to us this morning. Amen. First, a personal question. Have you ever let down a friend badly? If so, you will know how awkward it can be to try to make up. How will the friend react? Can things ever be put right? It must have been like that for Peter after his terrible denial of Jesus. John does not mention anything about Peter's denial in our portion. But for a better understanding of this conversation between Jesus and Peter, it is good to look back on earlier situations. Jesus was teaching the people about the kingdom of God and about himself. And once his message was quite strange. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, this sounds strange even to us. And John continues, "From that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Then Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also want to leave? It's a good opportunity. Feel free. I don't force anybody to stay." But now Peter comes up and says, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Later, Jesus explains his disciples that soon he must suffer and he must be killed. And again, it was Peter who responded. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Maybe he thought it was a moment of weakness or a phase of depression, and Jesus needed some support or encouragement. So he said to him, No, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Just continue with your ministry. But Jesus did not say, Thank you, Peter, for your concern. He shouted, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Before Jesus got arrested, he predicted to the disciples, This night you will all fall away from me. But Peter replied, Even if all fall away from you, I will not. I will go to die for you. And Jesus answered, Peter, this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. What a contradiction. But Peter was not just a big mouth. He really meant what he said. When Jesus got arrested, he was really willing to die for him, his master. He took his knife out and started fighting. But praise God, he was not trained to kill man, but only fish. So he hit only an ear of the one of the guards. Just imagine he would have split the head of that man. That would have been very terrible. Peter did not understand yet that God's kingdom is not of this world. Candles and prayers, yes, but not sword and violence. Let me say it here. The terrible crusades about 1,000 years ago, in which the name of Christ has been misused terribly, had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. These events were the darkest chapters in church history. At the same night as Jesus was arrested, only by a simple question of a maidservant, Peter says he does not know Jesus. And he even cursed himself by saying it. And he heard the cock 3 times. And he wept bitterly. Who is this Peter? The rock. A rock on which Jesus is going to build his church? A very shaky rock is he. We may shake our heads and say, Peter, how can you? Well, it's very easy to say, I would have responded differently while we sit here comfortably on Sunday morning. But his situation was quite different. I like that parable which I read recently. Somebody said, Peter's steps of faith have been like the steps of a toddler. But anyway, for the adventure of faith, he took the risk to make failure steps. There are many parents here. You know how much patience and energy it takes till your youngsters are able to do real steps. And Jesus did not take Peter's failure, and there were many, as a reason to sack him. Yes, Jesus had rebuked Peter and diagnosed his weak points, but first he saved him. Both rebuke and salvation are signs for how much Jesus loves him. And we as ordinary Christians, as we walk close with the Lord, we may have some painful moments as we realize that some of our wrong things are known by him. Then we are ashamed and we want to run away and hide from God and maybe weep like Peter did. But one of the best lessons we can learn through failures is to discover that God still loves us. Now, after this delicious breakfast in our story, Jesus says, Simon, we need to talk. We don't know how Peter felt at that moment. Maybe his first thought was, oh no, now thunder will come down. But the Lord still keeps his promise. We know from the Old Testament in Isaiah 42, the bruised reed he will not break, and the smoldering wick he will not quench. Er wird den glimmenden Docht nicht auslöschen. I can imagine that Peter felt like the smoldering wick. But there was no thunder, just a simple question. The question. Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Why this question? More than these? Maybe because Peter jumped out of the boat and ran towards Jesus while his friends were still busy with the fish and the boat. Or maybe this was just another enthusiastic action according to his nature, but no guarantee for his love. The bitter taste of his threefold denial was still there on Peter's tongue. But now he experiences in his own life how it is when Jesus restores a person's life. The risen Lord raises the broken disciple from his bitterness and downcast. Do you love me? Was a signal to Peter, and that the Lord wants to rebuild him, his relationship with him. His threefold question, do you love me, is full of mercy and forgiveness, although for a moment it might have pushed him even deeper into sadness. There's nothing more shameful than to experience so much goodness when we expect that lightning should come down and finish us. But Peter experiences the new start with the Lord. And he answers, and this time not over enthusiastically, but with clear voice. Yes, Lord, you know my heart. And you know that I can only love you with all my weaknesses. But now we have to listen carefully. Jesus does not forgive Peter just to help him back into his inner peace. This is just one aspect. But we should not overlook that he gives this man three times an order, a commission, to go now and commit himself to the brothers and all the others in need and take care of them. Therefore, he is forgiven. Forgiveness of sin is misunderstood for only have my own soul saved. In the Bible, forgiveness is something different. It is the revision, the total revision, a restoration of a person for being completely available for others. The dangerous effect of guilt is this. It becomes a burden which paralyzes me, and it keeps me under the paralyzing curse to move permanently around myself, torture myself with silent accusations. And consequently, I am not able to serve others. Guilt leads me into loneliness and to despise people around me. Forgiveness wants to set us free from this all, to serve the people around us. Only those who live under forgiveness are free for others. He is alive and I am forgiven. This experience changed Peter's innermost being completely. Now Jesus could start afresh with him, with new and great discoveries. After this conversation, Peter's situation is clear. But he has now to learn and understand something new. In verse 18, we read, "When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, and you stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." By his nature, Peter was very much convinced of himself. He was an alpha person, we say today. A get going. "I know what I'm doing. I, Peter, don't need somebody to tell me what to do and where to go." It seems to me as if Peter wants to tell him, "I give you space to test yourself and find out how far you will get by your own decisions. But now I want you to go to some not easy areas, and therefore you need me to lead you." This does not mean that from now on everything was perfect in Peter's life. There's no Christian in this world who is always 100%, right? Even under the guidance of Christ, Peter still needed to learn some new lessons. Some of us may remember the story we find in the book of Acts, in chapter 10. While Peter visited a friend at the coast, during his prayer time he had a vision. He was shown a tablet with reptiles and birds and calling creatures, and he heard a voice, "Kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten something unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Don't call anything unclean that God has made clean." The vision disappeared and Peter did not really know the meaning. But the Lord prepared him to go to the house of the Roman army commander Cornelius, who was a Gentile, ein Heide, and bring salvation to these people, something he would have refused as a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile. But he had to learn that the Lord Jesus came to save the whole world. Maybe in your neighborhood there's a Muslim family. One day you are invited to have dinner with them. Can I, as a Christian, eat together with Muslims? But Jesus came to save the Muslims also. Your neighbors don't know it yet. And lead you where you don't want to go. Our nature may sometimes rebel against the direction Jesus leads us. Not necessarily into martyrdom, like Peter, or other Christians today. But like Peter, we know, he will never let us walk alone. Some, or most of us, he leads into secular jobs as a ministry, for instance, in a company, you may have a difficult boss, or your colleague goes always on your nerves, or our neighbors away always complain about the noisy children, and we wish that the situation would be different. Although Peter's case is special, it has broad implications for all believers. Like Peter, we are to confess Christ as the one who has words of eternal life. What job does Jesus give to Peter? Or what kind of ministry did Jesus entrust to Peter? It was for leading and teaching. caring for the ones in need. This section reminds us of some crucial aspects of Christian leadership generally. The first qualification for a pastor is what? Having a degree of theology? Well, that is not wrong. That's very good. But the first qualification is to love Jesus. Some of us may leave Leipzig after some months or years and look for a church in their new place. Make sure that you find one where the pastor loves Jesus. Some of us here are leaders, teaching children, youth or home groups, leading the service, intercession, or are in the music team or whatever. Remember that your first responsibility or qualification is to love Jesus. We are not in Christian ministry to become famous, popular, or rich. We are in for costly service. It's a hard thing, and no one should do it out of selfish motives. Once in a month, Christ invites us to take part in the Lord's Supper as a sign for being close to Him. Those who come forward don't say that they are perfect. They just express that they run to Jesus and tell Him that they love Him and they are in need of Him. Let us now have a brief look on the last few verses, 20 to 23. Peter wanted to know about the assignment of his colleague and friend John. We don't know why. Perhaps he was just curious, or he wanted to have John as his companion. Jesus rebuked Peter for attempting to make Jesus' will for him the same as for John or the other disciples. We have to allow Christ to be Lord and not to pass judgment or fellow Christians on other fellow Christians or have expectations about the way they are to live and serve God. Do we also find ourselves sometimes thinking or asking Jesus, what about him or her? And we focus our thoughts on the ministries, efforts or successes or failures of others. He is more gifted than I am. I am not as beautiful as she is. I wish also to be in that ministry. This way of comparing our thinking is of no way helpful. And Jesus says the same to us as he did to Peter. This is not your business. You just follow me. Then our prayer will be, or should be, and I pray now, Lord, fill our ears and hearts so that we determine to follow you single-minded, no matter what others do or don't do. We thank you for this part of John's Gospel. Here we see that every one of us has a chance to be forgiven like Peter, no matter what our past has been. With you, a new relationship is possible because of your never-ending love. Thank you, Lord. Amen.